down trends.
Is the singularity near?
The military-industrial complex.
The truth is out there.
The seven mountains of the influencers are supposed to
be as gods, you know, catapulted propaganda.
From a mostly secure, undisclosed split level location on a cul-de-sac somewhere in the heartland of America, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
There's a quote that allegedly was a Chinese proverb that said, may you be cursed to live in interesting times, or may you live in interesting times. Turns out that that's not actually true. No Chinese person ever really said that. But be that as it may, I can't think of a better phrase for describing the times in which we live. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert. The headlines every week seem to indicate that the world has basically gone mad. Looking at the turmoil going on in the Middle East and realizing that, in large part, it is due to the meddling of the Western powers, the United States and our allies in NATO, in our infinite wisdom, in attempting to remake the Middle East in our image, something we've been trying to do for the better part of a century, ever since Sykes and Picot drew lines on a map after World War I to divvy up the Middle East. We've been trying to make it into something relatively peaceful and stable and something that would be, rather complicit with our desires to extract the oil wealth from their sands without too much interference. That hasn't gone so well, especially in recent years, as the White House ignored advice of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which warned in 2012 that if we continued to aid the rebels in Syria, we would in fact create a violent and independent Islamic state in Syria and Iraq, destabilize both of those nations. And of course, that's exactly what's happened. And not to get into political commentary here, but in my opinion, that alone, what happened in Libya and in Syria, because they are connected. We were running guns from the former army of the late Muammar Gaddafi. After we came, we saw he died. That's a quote from Hillary Rodham Clinton, to the rebels in Syria, and allowed them to become the entity that we now know is the Islamic State. And as it turns out from email released from Hillary Clinton's email server, that she exchanged with her regular advisor, Sidney Blumenthal, that our intervention in Libya had as much to do with helping the French prevent the Africans, led by Muammar Gaddafi, from developing their own gold-backed currency, gold-based currency, to replace the French franc. So, anyway, over the next 3 months, I'll be spinning out interviews conducted at the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference. I'll be doing this on Wednesday nights and then trying to hold to the regular schedule of Sunday evening longer interviews. The interviews from the Rocky Mountain Conference were about 15 minutes in length. These will all be available in video form when the DVD set from the Rocky Mountain Conference is released, and that should be in October. So by about the time these audio versions are done, the video version should be out. But of course, you want the video versions of the interviews because they come packaged with the presentations from the conference. And there are some presentations there you absolutely don't want to miss. In particular, L.A. Marzulli talking about the latest research into the so-called fairy. Don't let the name fool you. It looks like something right from the pit in Revelation 9, verse 11. Stan Deo's jaw-dropping presentation on the location of Atlantis and the Atlantean links to the Nephilim, plus many others. So that will all be available in the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference DVD set. Both Skywatch TV and Prophecy Watchers will have those available, again, come October. And we'll tell you more about that as the date draws closer. But what I'm going to do over the next few months is spin out every Wednesday nights a couple of interviews a week. And this week we'll begin with the two that I consider to be the most time-sensitive, so I wanted to get to them first. Some geopolitical and prophetic insights from a couple of guys named Bill.
These are nothing if not interesting times in which to be alive, but to make sense of it, you need good information. One of the best sources is Koenig International News, and we have the aforementioned Mr. Koenig, the president of the company, the author of the best-selling book and DVD, Eye to Eye, and a man who's analyzing what's going on in the headlines around us, Bill Koenig. Bill, it's good to see you again. It's been a couple of years since the last conference when we saw each other.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Things have changed a lot in the world since we talked last.
Sure have.
Things that we might not have even thought possible over the last couple of years. Your presentations, you dealt with a lot of the geopolitics and bringing a very important aspect to our biblical worldview here to this conference. And as we're here at this conference, there have been a number of very significant events taking place around the world. Terror attack in Nice, the abortive coup in Turkey, apparently.
Today, a police shooting in
Baton Rouge. Right. We're seeing the United States more balkanized than ever before. You've got groups that are almost to the point where their differences are irreconcilable. How do you process all of this into some sort of cohesive narrative of where we're going from here? What do you see going forward?
A couple things. We've never had every major final day event in play like we do today. Where I've been doing this for 20 years, and, you know, 7-10 years ago, we used to have two or three in play at the same time. But today, all final day markers and nations are in play. Russia, Iran, Turkey, Egypt. America's role, even though it's not obvious in the scriptures, but we have a very significant role in helping facilitate the final days. One world religious order, one world political order, on and on. You know, this divisive election that we have here in the United States with so much riding on it. Mm. The U.S.-Russian relationship and the difficulty of that relationship right now and the threats. Russia moving into the Middle East. You know, it's just we're living in a period of disruption. You know, in my book, Eye to Eye, I document when we pressure Israel to divide their covenant land, we have periods of disruption, mm-hmm. or we have major catastrophic events the same day or within 24 hours. So it's a combination of the world attempting to divide Israel that creates disruption and terror events and associated natural disasters. When I say natural, I mean disasters of record proportion. And you can see this collective fury or fire or even wrath from the God of Israel when his people are endangered by the dividing of his land, by creating an Arab state in Judea and Samaria, or dividing the city of Jerusalem. That's one component. And the other component is we're living in a time when good is considered evil, and evil is considered good, as in Isaiah 5:20. I work with media at the White House in Washington that they don't see things the way they do, that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are proponents, and they are the ones that are promoting an evil agenda in America.
Right.
And I think the last 7.5 years, Derek, we've seen a significant change in life as we know it in America,
mm-hmm.
more so than ever before.
It is a strange time to be alive, and I never thought I'd find myself old enough to hear myself say the things that my dad used to say about, you know, things have changed so much since I was a kid.
Yes.
As a young man, I saw a little bit about what you describe with the White House press corps. I was a news intern in City Hall in Chicago and saw kind of the same thing, where the news media just had a very different view of the world than the biblical worldview that you know, people watching this are most likely to have. But I even see that, you know, in the election that is coming up, the presidential election in November, the two candidates are about as diametrically opposed as you can be, but their constituencies are farther apart on basic issues of morality than Republicans and Democrats have ever been in our nation's history. As Christians, and I had the opportunity to talk with one of the evangelical leaders who was invited to that meeting that Donald Trump campaign put together.
And
okay, so you had a chance to see this. Maybe compare his experience with yours. He got the sense that while he was encouraged that the Trump campaign was reaching out to American Christian leaders to understand their concerns, he came away with the sense that they just don't understand American Christianity, American evangelicals at all.
Well, I think it was an excellent event. In New York, it was on June 21st. 1,000 Christian leaders from all over America were there. What I came away with was a commitment by Trump on justices for the Supreme Court, where he could mm-hmm. be appointing as many as, if he's elected, 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's already presented the name of 11. He's used Scalia as someone that he would like to pattern his future nominations or off of.
Mm-hmm.
Also, religious rights was going to be a very significant factor that he was going to do and protect going forward. He said also that pastors will not be under fear of losing their 501c3 nonprofit status, and that they should be able to say exactly what they want to say from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
The rebuilding of the military, dealing with radical Islam that threatens America and the life as we know it here in our country, and also making a commitment to stopping illegal immigration. The best he could was stopping illegal immigration. Immigration's fine, but not illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and also Israel. David Jeremiah asked about Israel, and he stood strong with Israel. He's a friend of Israel. He's pragmatic. He understands the problem. His speech at AIPAC, where I was as well, was something you and I could write.
Hmm.
It was that good
hmm.
in terms of understanding the situation, the practicality of the fact that the Palestinians have turned down generous offers before. So I came away from that encouraged from that perspective. I think Mike Pence is an excellent choice.
He's about as good a choice as you could find,
I really believe so, because he's a born-again believer. He is serious about his faith. He presents himself as a born-again believer. He grew up Catholic, but when he met his wife, he became born-again evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a great reputation on the Hill, and he's been a governor of a state, which is usually a good grounds. If you've been a governor of a state, it's a great learning ground to become president of the United States. So I think he brings a ticket, a lot of balance. He's a steady guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's well-respected. And Mike Huckabee was interesting at the Trump event. He said, "What I respect Donald Trump because I look at his children. I look at what they become, their education, mm-hmm. no drinking, smoking, drugs, none of that. And also just the quality of his children." And he said, that's what spoke a lot to me about mm-hmm. Donald Trump. Obviously, there's some things we wish he didn't say, but, you know, he's from New York.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things a lot of people out in the heartland appreciate, and I'm beginning now, I'm not expert yet on people in the Ozarks, only lived there for a year and a half, but beginning to understand a little bit better what...
The show me state.
Yeah. And I think they appreciate somebody who speaks his mind.
Absolutely.
And isn't trying to weigh every word for its effect in the press, and Mr. Trump certainly doesn't do that. And circling back to the comment I made earlier, the gentleman I talked to who said that those around Mr. Trump didn't get evangelicals, I should qualify that by saying he also said that he was encouraged that they made this outreach, and because it appeared that they're trying to understand. And it's possible that the selection of Mike Pence as a running mate is a concession to that understanding. It's like, we need somebody who brings that perspective into the cabinet.
Absolutely. And after that event, he has a 21-person
right.
Christian board, advisory board of conservatism. It's a wide variety of people from the Christian community, but he has it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a good relationship with Mike Huckabee, Ben Carson, and others. So he understands. And I think what he likes is the Trumps, the Carsons, the Mike Pences, is they're so real. What you see is what you get,
mm-hmm.
and they can be trusted. And I think Trump has surrounded himself in the past with people he can trust,
mm-hmm.
and that's very important to him. And I think those are favorable things, because a Clinton presidency would be horrible for America.
We know what we're going to get there.
Exactly.
And well, one of the things that I've been talking about throughout this campaign, you know, on Skywatch TV daily, talking about the news, is trying not to get caught up in the attitude, the air of sports competition that the news networks infuse into our election cycle. It's presented and packaged to us almost as though it's a football game, and we tend to get really caught up in the competitiveness. You know, our guy's got to win and the other guy's got to lose. As Christians, how do we keep the political process in the proper perspective, the proper priority, with what Jesus told us our Great Commission was?
Well, I think that's a good question, Derek. A couple things. One, I was in Cleveland during a lot of the Republican platform conversation about the agenda, about the platform that they're going to provide the convention. Phyllis Schlafly's almost 92 years of age. She says this is the best platform she's seen in her lifetime.
That says a lot.
That says a lot. That speaks volumes. The conservatives won almost every single point where there's been a battle in the Republican Party between the conservatives and moderates for years. No, it was fantastic.
Hmm.
No two-state plan. No
dividing for Israel.
Jerusalem.
Okay.
That's right. For Israel, Palestine not mentioned, Jerusalem undivided capital of Israel.
That's remarkable.
Remarkable. In almost every single event, whether in religious rights throughout it, no to the LGBTQ agenda they attempted to move that in. What was interesting is the media, if you look at the secular media, the major networks,
mm-hmm.
acted like it was warring between the two factions in Cleveland. That was far from the truth. Everything went together smoothly. It was a smooth process. There was some debate over LGBTQ, but the rest of it went so smoothly. So this is a very conservative agenda. And the Trump campaign just spoke of immigration reform and a security fence.
Mm-hmm.
We're past, whether it was Romney, McCain, or Bush, always had their agenda, and it always made it difficult for the platform committee to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2012, the two-state for Israel was added by Eric Cantor and AIPAC. They really wanted the Republican Party to be in lockstep with the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But they've taken that out. So all I'm saying is there's a lot of reasons to be encouraged. The other thing is we have to vote.
Yes.
We have to vote. We're not telling people how to vote, but you have to vote.
If for no other reason than it's rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Absolutely. Look what happened to the pastors in Houston with 9% of the vote. The lesbian mayor of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Charlotte, the bathroom bill.
Mm-hmm.
8% of the people elected that mayor.
Yeah.
For Charlotte. And look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
People, Christians, have an obligation to vote. They have to vote.
Yeah.
And that's what's so important going forward. It's just vote.
You know,
participate.
Between you and Claudia, I think you basically cover the whole range of how Christians should interact with the world around us. We can't hide ourselves behind the walls of a compound. It's impossible to influence the culture if we've separated ourselves from it.
That's right.
But while we're out there and we're being good citizens and understanding what's going on in the world around us and making the best decisions we can based on Scripture and what we're learning about the world, Claudia's mission to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if there are enough people out there who understand why certain things are right and wrong, we wouldn't need laws.
Well,
now, being human, we would never
need hope, and Claudia does this day in, day out. I'm with her for a lot of those salvations, and people are looking for hope.
Yeah,
and when Claudia evangelizes, the Holy Spirit leads, the Holy Spirit provides the words, the Holy Spirit tells her this is what to say. It's remarkable to watch, and we all have. That's what Claudia is attempting to do, and with her presentation here is encouraging others to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to lead someone to Christ. You've had that opportunity, great, but there's reapers and sowers. So it's an opportunity for us to bring hope, true hope,
mm-hmm.
in a time of little hope.
That's it. That's it.
And it's Jesus Christ.
As Christians, the political realm is sometimes like being Charlie Brown trying to run up and kick that football, and Lucy pulling it away time after time after time.
Yes.
But hey, this year it's the most important election ever again.
Yes.
But right.
Yes,
the gospel gives us absolute true hope. Bill Koenig, where do people follow Koenig's international news?
Our website address is watch.org, watch.org.
All right.
And we post news 365 days out of the year.
Oh, fantastic. Bill and Claudia Koenig, remarkable people, and you'll see them here. If you've taken advantage of the live streaming option, we'll talk more about that in future updates. But for now, in Colorado Springs, I'm Derek Gilbert. Whenever there's anything that's going on in the Middle East, one of our go-to guys for analysis is the gentleman with us right here. He is the author of a number of books dealing with Bible prophecy, and so much of what's in the news right now seems to have an impact or could, on Bible prophecy. The author of Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed, Revelation Road, Israelistan, and most recently, The Now Prophecies. We welcome back Bill Salas. Bill,
Derek,
good to see you again.
Thanks for having me back, and thanks for bringing up those important topics. We've got a lot to talk about.
There is. I mean, we just talked recently via Skype over the Brexit issue, but since then, just within the last couple of days, as we record this in mid-July, the terror attack in Nice, France, it's left more than 80 people dead, 84 at last count. And then the situation overnight in Turkey, where a coup was attempted apparently, and then squashed, mm-hmm. Leaving President Erdogan seemingly with more power than he had before. Given the critical role that Turkey is playing in the Syrian civil war and its possible future role in Bible prophecy, what do you make of all this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. These countries in the Middle East, they most of them are involved in end times Bible prophecy.
Right.
So the good news is we can get a pretty good idea of what's going to happen in the future of some of these places. And you're talking about Turkey right now. And Turkey is in prophecy of Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 5, listed as Meshach, Tubal, Tagarma, mm-hmm. things like that, by their ancient names by Ezekiel back then. And they get themselves involved with the Gog and Magog War of Ezekiel 38. We believe that would include Russia, Turkey, Iran, some of the breakaway republics of the Soviet Union, the southern steppes of Russia, some of the North African countries, maybe Tunisia, Morocco, maybe on down to Libya and Ethiopia. So there's nine populations in total. None of them have been Israel's historic enemies, per se, and none of them share common borders with Israel, but they're going to come against Israel in the end times, and that's a really big event. And that's the event that the Lord is going to supernaturally stop and prevent through fire, hailstone, and brimstone. So really, for Turkey's perspective, from their future, it's looking pretty grim. They're going to get lined up with the wrong coalition and just be decimated. Now, what's interesting, though, as we build up toward that right now, you know, there's one of the interesting geopolitical issues right now is Russia and Turkey are not necessarily friends.
Right.
Russia and Iran are great friends right now, right? But Turkey and Iran have been at odds. Turkey and Russia have been at odds. And Turkey with Iran's at odds, too, because
right.
Sunni's Turkey, Shiite, Iran. But what is interesting is Turkey is building a relationship with Israel. You talked about the coup, and you know, by the time this airs or someone watches this, I'm sure that's going to be old news. People
right.
may not even remember it happened. It happened in one day, and it was over
mm-hmm.
pretty much in July here. So basically, what's interesting, though, is that before that, Turkey was buddying up with Israel and talking about establishing relationships, normalizing relationships again, which had been on the freeze since around 2010, 2011, when
right.
that Mavi Marmara episode with that flotilla of humanitarian aid for the Gaza. And Israel was going to give them $20 million worth of reparations, so Turkey could say, hey, thank you, gives us a stronger hat to make sense here. And the reality of the situation was, and also would enable Turkey to have an ability to negotiate commercial contracts with Israel
mm-hmm.
to get their hands on some of that natural gas that Israel had found.
Right.
And it would be helpful for Israel because they would then be able to sort of fend off litigation and lawsuits about littoral rights of the claims they have on the natural gas out in the Mediterranean there. So you could see there was some underlying motives beyond the $20 million, a small investment for Israel, really,
mm-hmm.
at the potential gain there.
Yeah.
But we're watching all this stuff really closely, and not all of it's lined up yet, but some other prophecies are right lined up, and that's why I wrote the Now book. They're lined up now.
Mm-hmm.
It happened at the present time.
Yeah, and that is a really interesting way that you've laid it out, and it's helpful for people trying to understand and make sense of the plausible order or potential order of things that will happen in the future, mm-hmm. but things that have lined up in such a way that they could happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the most immediate prophetic fulfillments?
Yeah, there is more than a handful of prophecies that lack any preconditions at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore they're imminent, and we could wake up tomorrow morning and they could have happened, or they could have happened by the time this even airs. And I'm not trying to say they will, because our Lord is very long-suffering, and these things, by all intents and purposes, I think should have already happened, and yet they haven't, because probably in many due respects for that. However, what I'm looking at really quite closely is prophecies dealing with Iran. And I said Iran's in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but that's not the only prophecy they're in the end times. They're in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39. And that's a vastly overlooked prophecy dealing with ancient Elam, E-L-A-M. So when you look at a modern-day map of Iran, you have Persia, which is about four-fifths of modern-day Iran. And you have them pretty much to the east and central part and northern part of Iran, separated by the Zagros Mountains, is a huge mountain range. And then on the west coast of Iran, on the Persian Gulf area, you have ancient Elam, about one-fifth of the modern-day map of Iran.
Hmm.
There are nuclear reactors there, and Jeremiah writes a prophecy in 596 B.C. that seems to be dealing with the scenario we're looking at right now, with the nuclear capacity of Iran. There's a disaster, there appears to be a humanitarian crisis, it really has appears to have nuclear ramifications. So I'm concerned that we might see a nuclear disaster in Iran. That could be a prophecy in Jeremiah 49.
Mm-hmm. And the nuclear disaster could just be an accident, or it could be the result of some military action?
More than likely military. Basically, it's just six verses. I've learned how to summarize it real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a book called The Nuclear Showdown in Iran, revealing this ancient prophecy of mm-hmm. Elam here. And basically what Jeremiah is saying is the point in time is going to come where the Lord is fiercely angry with the leadership of Iran. He says he's going to destroy the kings and the princes there. You don't destroy good leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something's angered, the leadership's angered him. What angers him? Well, they want to launch something lethal somewhere because he says he's going to break their bow,
mm-hmm.
so they can't launch something at the foremost of their might, meaning something lethal. He's going to prevent that from happening. And it says that when that happens, it says that he'll bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and there'll be a dispersion. All the affected indigenous population from whatever this disaster is, because it's clearly talking about a disaster out of the anger of the Lord, they're going to be dispersed into the nations of the world it talks about. But as far as whether that's an accident, an earthquake or something, because it is where a very highly earthquake-zoned area, their seismic, it does say that they will be pursued by the sword. And so that tends to be more like a military invasion. It doesn't tell us who does it, though, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does
mm-hmm.
say that that Elam will be dismayed before their enemies, plural. So, you know, at the time of the prophecy, Iran will have more than one enemy. Well, Israel's concerned. The Lord is angry, so there's two enemies. The Arab states across the Gulf, predominantly mm-hmm. Sunni, are not friends of Iran right now. Another enemy. International community is concerned Iran's going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz if they're attacked.
Right.
Negotiating a deal with them for their nuclear program, so potential enemies there. But we don't know. I personally think it's going to be Israel that strikes them because they pretty much have to. Iran is threatening to wipe Israel off the map and stuff. And the reason the Lord's angry with them is they want to wipe Israel off the map. However, the Lord plans to make his holy name known in the midst of his people Israel. They shall not profane it anymore, and the nation shall know he's the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. That's coming up in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I believe Jeremiah 49 happens first, and therefore Iran cannot wipe Israel off the map like they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord will still, Ezekiel 38 will then follow.
Okay. Now, people are going to see a more detailed discussion of your analysis of the coming wars in the Middle East elsewhere on this DVD set. So I do want to talk about the Biblical Indictment of America, your other presentation here. I think we, as Bible-believing Christians, can look around at our culture and see plenty of reasons that God would want to indict America, and for a lot of different things. What specifically are you looking at?
Well, you know, there's been quite a few prophetic voices like Jonathan Cahn and mm-hmm. other people who have been warning that we have pretty much straight-armed God out of society, and we've been receiving presaged warnings or harbingers and things like that that look like we're on the verge of, in judgment and on the verge of destruction. And so what I'm feeling a sense and a burden for is actually not just talking about or warning, but actually prosecuting the country, indicting it at this mm. point in time, because we've crossed every dangerous biblical boundary that when nations and empires have crossed them in the past, they have been judged and or destroyed for them. And talking about going back into the 60s with John F. Kennedy in 62 and 63, when the Supreme Court took out prayer out of the public school's Bible reading, we're kind of saying a little straight arm on God right there. We don't need you anymore. We don't need our kids to learn about you anymore. We don't need our kids to pray about you anymore. We've mm-hmm. got this now. And then, of course, he was assassinated shortly thereafter. I don't know if that's a connection, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon comes on the scene after that. And in 73, abortions are approved, Roe versus Wade. Now, the goal of childbearing was to produce godly offspring. He told that to Noah and to Adam. But now roughly about 1 million children a year from that point forward don't have an opportunity to be born and become godly offspring.
You know what the thing that just really startled me, and I don't mean to interrupt, but this is something, a statistic I read from New York City in 2013, which is the most recent year for which this particular statistic was made available. More than 50% of the African-American babies in New York City do not live full term.
Yeah.
More than half are terminated.
Well, I guess those black lives don't matter, right?
Yep.
You know, I mean, so, and we look at, you know, when is the point of birth and conception, and Jeremiah tells us that, you know, the Lord knew Jeremiah before he was even formed in the womb, right?
Yeah.
And Planned Parenthood has been selling body parts, right?
Right.
So you have to think, well, hey, that's a human being at that point in time. You know, Nixon was impeached shortly thereafter Roe versus Wade was passed. And then you had other things going on with Jimmy Carter. Prayers, the Ten Commandments were taken out of the public schools. Sodomy laws were struck down in Texas, affecting 13 other states when George Bush was in office. And then you had Barack Obama in 2013. The biblical definition of marriage, one man should be married to one woman, DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, mm-hmm. was struck down. And so now that you can't really define marriage, you can open it up to same-sex marriage. And that was passed in June 26th of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So all along the way, we kept straight-arming God away. And then we signed a nuclear deal, instrumental in forwarding a nuclear deal with Iran. And the Lord's going to uphold his holy name through Israel. And here's this country that wants to wipe Israel off the map, apply a nuclear weapon. You know, it's all just a mess with respect to our standing with the Lord. You know, we were called by the Lord to be a safe haven for the Jewish people. That's why we still have so many Jewish people here. To be a beacon of Christianity to the nations of the world. And we've been that in the church age. And to be instrumental in the rebirth of the nation of Israel. He helped us declare our independence from Mother England in 1776. And we've seen us declare independence from Father God in 2016 as we sit here right now.
Mm.
It's a very tough situation, very indicting situation.
Sobering, yeah. Bill, where do people follow your ministry?
Prophecydepot.com is my website, Derek. Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking. Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot.
All right, prophecydepot.com. Bill Salas, the author of The Now Prophecies, his most recent book, and a number of others that you should have on your reference shelf. At the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference, I'm Derek Gilbert.
Again, these interviews are part of the set of about 24 or 25 conducted with all of the speakers at the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference, all of the speakers plus one. Dr. Michael Heiser was there and managed to snag him and pull him off to the side for a quick interview during an empty session in the conference. This was the most interviews I'd conducted at any of the prophecy conferences that we've attended over the past 5 years. I think the most I'd had previously was like 18 or 19. So this was a new high for me. 24, 25, I lost count. I think 25 in all. So they'll be part of the DVD set. And again, I'll tell you more about that as we get closer to the dates. Now, if you've been paying attention, and I don't expect that you have been, but just if you have and you've noticed that the website, vftb.net, is offline and has been since the weekend, that is not alone. It's not just that website. It's all of the websites that Sharon and I have put up over the years. DerekPGilbert.com, SharonKGilbert.com, our weekly Bible study, GilbertHouse.org, PIDRadio.com, PADNews.com, all of those knocked offline by our hosting company, which I'm not shy to tell you was, by the time you hear this hopefully, was Bluehost.com. Bluehost, we'd been with them for a number of years and had been very, very happy with their service until about the last year or so. And a few months back, we started running into trouble where our sites got really slow, and then occasionally we started getting these database connection errors. To go to the website, error, couldn't connect to a database, or just a white page with big bold letters, database connection error. Got in touch with the support department at Bluehost and was told that you guys are consuming too many resources. Oh, really? Well, I thought our hosting plan entitled us to unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage. Yes, but you're consuming too many resources. Well, resources, wouldn't that be bandwidth and storage? Yes, but we're throttling you because you're consuming too many resources. Okay, so how do we fix this problem? Well, they gave me a few bits of advice, good advice really, for trying to streamline the websites, compressing images down to smaller size, caching, using an external caching service, actually, Cloudflare, which I set up. And for a while, it seemed to solve the problem, running everything through Cloudflare so that it would serve up cached pages instead of the website. Having the website generate the HTML every time somebody new came to the site seemed like it was fixing it. But then over the weekend, started getting these database errors again. Well, over the weekend, I was kind of busy. This past weekend, we were down at Morningside Church near Branson. That's Jim Baker's church, where they'd asked me to speak and give a longer version of the presentation that I gave at the Rocky Mountain Prophecy Conference. So I didn't have time to mess with it. I just thought, okay, well, let's just hope this isn't that again. Well, this was that again. And when I contact support again, they just said, you're using too many resources. Okay, but I'm already compressing all the images and running everything through a caching service. So what else can we do? Well, put a robots.txt file on all of your... Okay. So the solution is we are now moving over to Site 5 hosting, and we're in the process of moving everything. Bluehost's support. The thing that really got me the most about this was that they didn't give us any heads up or any warning. See, at Skywatch TV, I'm sort of the de facto IT department, and I'm not an IT guy by trade. So I know there are things I'm not doing as well as we should be doing, especially for the amount of traffic we get at Skywatch TV, especially because Skywatch TV gets a lot more web traffic than our few little websites. But Site 5 contacted us to say, you know, you guys are really using a lot of resources here, a lot of CPU cycles on the server, and we need to work together to try to find a way to solve this. And they gave us some suggestions, which we followed. Some of it was stuff we had to do on our side. You know, we have a lot of images at skywatchtv.com. So we're compressing all of those to shrink them down as small as we can. We're using caching, and we also upgraded the hosting plan. And that solved it, and the website is doing fine. Bluehost never gave us a warning. They just started shutting us down. That, to me, is absolutely horrible customer service. Horrible. Site 5, every time we've needed somebody, we've gotten somebody in support within a matter of a minute or less. For live chat or on the phone, they've been absolutely excellent, and so we have no problem giving our personal websites over to Site 5. In fact, as part of signing up with them, they're in the process of migrating all of our files. I don't even have to do it. They're in the process of doing it for me. So I'm not getting paid to say this either. I'm just, you know, happy that this is something I don't have to mess with because I'm pretty busy during the week. So anyway, I've been in sales, prior to coming to Skywatch TV, I'd been in sales for a better part of 20 years. And I won't claim to be the best salesman in the world. I know that I could have been better at the craft. It was not where my heart was most of the time, but I was good at my job, and my employers appreciated my service, I think. And I was in it long enough to tell the difference between good customer service and lousy. And the reason that all of our personal websites, including the Bible study, are offline is because of lousy customer service. Hopefully that will be corrected by this weekend. So this weekend, this Sunday night, we may not have VFTB, A View from the Bunker, on the program or on the a new program uploaded, just because I anticipate I may have to do some tweaking on the sites, what with the transfer. There's always something that doesn't quite go exactly according to plan. We may also find, because we had been hosting all of our audio files on the website, I mean, again, we took Bluehost at their word when they said unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. We may have to look for an external host for all of the podcasting audio files. So that may take up some time this weekend too. But the next 12 Wednesdays, we will have new interviews, or rather, we'll have a couple more interviews for you from the Rocky Mountain International Prophecy Conference. Next week, Aaron Lipkin and Avi Lipkin. Avi, very proud that Aaron, his son, gave his first presentation at a prophecy conference, and some fascinating stuff to tell about some of the archaeological things that he's discovered, Aaron, that is, with drones with cameras. So that'll be next Wednesday, August 3rd, God willing, on A View from the Bunker, and, of course, the new YouTube channel, youtube.com/Derek Gilbert. Our Bible study, God willing, will be back up and ready at gilberthouse.org on Sunday. We've missed it 2 weeks in a row now because of the conference and then speaking at Morningside this past week. But truth be told, even if we'd had the studies recorded, given the problems with Bluehost, we wouldn't have been able to upload them anyway. So, but this weekend, God willing, gilberthouse.org by midday Sunday, 2 hours of Bible study, 1 hour New Testament, 1 hour Old Testament, and we hope you'll join us for that. We appreciate you dialing in, especially with the difficulties here the last week, and appreciate your review of A View from the Bunker at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you download the podcast. And of course, you can weigh in on the topics that we discuss at the View from the Bunker page on Facebook. And of course, give us a like there while you weigh in. A View from the Bunker is a production of Gilbert House and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. The opening theme is by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.